Family problems. How about health problems? You're sick. You don't understand why you're sick. And I've seen this before where a person lived their whole life serving God. And they get sick, and you know what we question? We question God if they're trying to serve you and trying to do what you want them to do. God, why are they having to face this? Or maybe you're serving God, and this is maybe even one of the worst, where you say, my child is sick. Sometimes you can be so sick, you say, I'm just tired of being sick. It's problems. How about financial problems? Too many bills, too little money. There are things that we need. And sometimes you even get to the point, you say, I'm not sure what we're going to do. Problems. Then personal problems. The one I believe is the most difficult for us to deal with is self. We can complain about somebody else. We can complain about how people are treating us at work, how people are treating us at home. But sometimes it's me that gives me the most trouble. You see, it could be sin in my life, and the Bible says that we should lay aside every weight and the sin that most easily besets us. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. God will speak to you and let you know exactly what area of your life that He's speaking about. Amen. You're trying to serve God, but the sin that so easily besets you constantly rises up, troubling you, and it's a problem. Sometimes problems create depression. Sometimes in Christians, it's like this. They say, I'm depressed, but I don't want anybody to know that I'm depressed because I'm supposed to be strong. It's problems. Sometimes it's problems that you do not want anybody to know about and you won't share them. It could be problems with stuff. It's like the car. Come out of church, you made it to church, you're serving God. But the car won't start. You go out of the parking lot and somebody doesn't stop, the wreck. Get home, the washing machine overflowed, the refrigerator quit working. Then somebody steals your identity. Boy, that's fun. Then you get that, I'm being audited by the IRS. And I try to drive careful. But if you ever looked up in the mirror and said, why is that state patrol behind me? But seems like when it happens, it's like this. It's not one, it's not two. Y'all have heard these saying it comes in threes. But have you ever had a time, a summer, a season of life to where it's one thing after another thing after another thing, and you wonder, God, why am I having all of these problems? I want you to understand something. You're not alone. Bible says there's no temptation taking you except that which is common to man. Here's the thing I want you to understand. Everybody's got problems. They may not have the exact same problem you do, but everybody's got something that they're dealing with. It's like that song, everybody's going through something. But are you going through it with Him, with Jesus? Now, in order to deal with our problems, this is the message this morning. There's some things that we're going to need. And that's why we come to the house of God. And that's why I think the family of God, the work of God, the service of God is so important. Because we've all got problems. And sometimes I question and I wonder, what do people do who don't know God? What do people do who don't know Jesus? And here's the first one. Sometimes you need hope. You need hope that things will get better. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 12, the first part of the verse, it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It's called a psychosomatic illness. It's where your spirit actually will make your body sick. You know, if you talk to certain doctors, they will agree with you that there is a certain and a reality of a broken heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You see, the truth is, hope is one thing that people cannot live without. You can be destitute, you can be in trouble, but when you lose hope, people lose the will to live, they lose the will to get up, and that's why people sometimes confine to a bed when in reality the problem that they have is not something that's natural sickness like a cancer, or it's not a natural sickness like the flu or a natural sickness like heart disease, but it's something in their heart that has caused them to lose hope, that causes them to not have the ability to get up. Sometimes people say, well, they ought to just get over it. If you've never been there, maybe you shouldn't say that. See, the hope we have in Christ is not false hope, and that's what I want you to understand. You see, people who don't have Jesus, when they get to the points in their life that they really, really need help, where do they get it? Where do you get it? It's kind of like the movie, and it was such a great scene in that God's Not Dead 2. Where the girl is harassing them for being Christians. And you know, we're living in that time today where there are people that make fun of us. They ride by the church and they see all the cars and they say they're in there doing it again. And they're in the prime of their life and they're feeling good and they're doing good and they're living life the way they want to live it. And all of a sudden, it could be at 20 years old, it could be at 30 years old, it could be at 40. It could be sometimes at a young age. You go to the doctor, you got it figured out, you're going to do this, then you're going to do that, and the doctor says you're not going to do any of those things because what's going on in your life is only going to give you 6 to 9 months to do everything that you want to do. Where do you get your hope? See, I get my hope from the Lord. Amen. There are a lot of people in this country that don't have that hope. That's why suicide has reached epidemic proportions in America, the richest nation in the world. People are still not happy. They have money, they're not happy. They have things, they're not happy. Why? Because they don't have the hope of Christ. Yes. Psalms 18:6 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Psalms 120 and verse 1 says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Now, I want you to understand something about the book of Psalms. Most of it was written by David. A lot of it was. Some of it was written by Moses. Some of it was written by Asaph, the musician. But here's the thing to understand. When you read about these people and you just think about David, you think, well, David was king. But have you forgotten the time that he was running from Saul and he lived in a cave? Have you forgotten the time that his own son, Absalom, a beautiful son that God had gave him, was pursuing him to take his life? Have you forgotten the time that he was under the judgment of God and he saw so many things of his life go away and he saw the hand of God come as punishment upon his family? This is a man that learned in his distress to cry out to the Lord, but even in his distress, he understood where his hope came from. You see, whatever your problem is, even if it's self-inflicted, you know that there's nowhere to go but to God. I heard a story, a true story, and this is an example of what it means not to have hope. And this story was brought back from Vietnam during the Vietnam conflict. Young man said they were in charge of taking care of small children who basically had been orphaned. Mom and dad had been killed and they were living in the orphanage, and as they were there, they said every night the children would cry themselves to sleep. And as the children cried themselves to sleep and they made sure they were fed, they made sure that they had a place to lay down, and they finally realized they were afraid of tomorrow. And they would give the children a piece of bread, and the children would lay down at night holding the piece of bread, and they would go to sleep. And as long as they were holding the piece of bread, they would go to sleep. When my wife and I first got married, she worked in a rocking horse daycare up in Woodstock, and she took care of kids, and being the woman that she is, she brought them home. And she'd bring, I'll tell you why she'd bring them home. She would bring them home because mama and daddy didn't want them. We had a little boy and a little girl one time. Her names were Johnny and Dana. And all their mother wanted to do, just to be honest with you, is party. She wanted to run the streets. She wanted to have fun. And she had a burden of two little children. They were like 3 and 4 years old. Kendra brought Johnny and Dana home, and they stayed with us probably for about 2.5 months. And these little kids, you could tell, they missed something. They were missing hope. I was able to develop a relationship with little Johnny, and I talked to him, but that little girl had been mistreated, and I was never able to get close to her. But I told you that to tell you this. When we put them to bed at night, here's the only way we could get them to lay down and go to sleep. She made a pallet in the floor, and she would put them together. And they would go to sleep holding hands. Because that's where the hope that they had came from, because they didn't have it at home, and they didn't get it from the place they were going to get it. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. If you don't have the hand of God to hold, where do you get your hope when you're in trouble? Where do you get your peace when you're in need? We need it from God. You see, sometimes you need hope. Sometimes you need help. Help. You ever seen somebody and you see the condition they're in? I've heard this before. Well, they made their bed. Let them lie in it. I'm just glad the Lord didn't say that about me. You see, sometimes you can really need help. And here's what you can do. You can try friends. You can try physicians. You can try everything that this world has to offer. But what people need is Jesus. What people need is God. And we're living in a world today, I believe deep down inside, people recognize this. I don't know why people won't just surrender. In Isaiah chapter number 40, in verse number 27, it says this. It says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And when my wife and I were dating, we had to, y'all remember cassette tapes? I know y'all don't know about cassette tapes. Well, we had a cassette tape. And on that cassette tape was songs that she had copied a lot of them and given it to me, and it had one song on it. It was back then would have been considered contemporary gospel, I think is what they called it. But, excuse me, there was a line in the song that said this: "I got another phone call, a caring friend or two. They say they have the answers to what I'm going through, but they don't understand that their ways just don't work for me. I've got a Lord who knows my heart and meets my every need." You know, sometimes it's kind of like this. You ever heard that? Telephone, tell a friend, tell Tommy Bruce. What do? We do everything in the world except say, "God." And here's what I want you to understand. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You can go through the book of Proverbs. God knows everything. He knows exactly where we're at. But what do we forsake to do? We believe in prayer, but do we ask Him? Do we come to Him and pour it out to Him? Sometimes you need help, and you need help from someone that can really help you. I want you to understand something this morning. Jesus can really help you. You go through the Bible and you remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, "I've been to the doctors. I've tried everything that they have to offer." And some of us have loved ones like that. We have family like that. And we, you know, folks, I thank God for the doctors and I thank God for the knowledge that He's given them. But I tell you who I rely on first: the Lord. Where do you go if you don't have Him? And then you have to consider this: who has God called you to help? Have you ever prayed, you get up in the morning and say, "Lord, would you help me see somebody today that I can help in Jesus' name? Somebody that I can show kindness." The book of James chapter 2 says this in the 14th verse: "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. It's kind of like this as well. I say I believe in prayer, but do I pray? I say I love the Lord and I serve God, but do I serve Him? Do I worship Him? You see, sometimes you need hope, sometimes you need help. Sometimes we need healing. And God can heal you. Here's one thing that I believe. God can provide everything that you need so that you can have victory. You see, sometimes we have a desire or a need to get over it or to get past it. You know why? Because we get tired of the battle. You ever been serving God and say, I'm just tired of the battle. I'm tired of the struggle, and you need healing. You say, Lord, I want to do the right thing, but here's what happens. God, I need you to show up. You need victory. It could be victory over an addiction. It could be victory over a dependency. It could be a victory over a stronghold that the devil has in your life. But sometimes, folks, it can just be victory over you. You see, sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, the devil, he's on me all the time, and the devil this and the devil that. I want to tell y'all something, just be honest. I don't really have a whole lot of problem with the devil. You know why? Because I have so much problem with me, he ain't got no time to get involved. Because the problem I have most in the morning when I get up is that old guy that when I look that way, I feel 25. Every now and then I stand in front of the mirror and I say, what happened? But it's that same guy that's looking back at me that's creating most of my problems. You see, you got to first get victory right here. Then you're going to have to deal with this world. And there's a world out there that's going to come against you with all kind of things. And you got to decide that you love the Lord more than you love the world before the devil's even going to mess with you. You know why? Because he's got so many tools. Most of the time, what the devil does is he just sits back and laughs. He laughs at people that are filled with the things of this world, filled with materialism, that are blinded to the things of God. Doesn't the Scripture say that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. You see, they're blinded by them, their own desires and to the things of the world. Most people could never deal with the devil. It was the devil that came after Job. I would never want my name called to the Lord by the devil. You say, well, I'm strong. We know that the devil's a liar. We know that God can give us victory. But you begin having victory by being obedient, putting things in the right place, and serving God. You see, sometimes we need this. We need honesty. You know, I say I want the Lord to search me and try me like David did. And you ever ask somebody a question and they give you an honest answer and you don't appreciate it? Sometimes I go through that with my wife. I ask her a question and she tells me the truth and I say, yeah. That's pretty much the answer. But sometimes we need honesty, and we need honesty to deal with our problems. And here's what we need. We need a dose of the truth. See, God's not called preachers to tell a lie, but to tell the truth. God's not called Brother Allen to make these youth feel real good about themselves and think everything's going to be all right. He's called to tell you that Jesus loves you, to tell you the truth. You know, sometimes with the truth, here's what happens. It may be your job to tell the truth. Maybe the truth like is. The truth is, maybe it's your responsibility as a parent to say, you know, truth is what you're doing is a sin. You say, well, those are my children. I love my children. Well, then be honest with them. Truth is, if you keep doing what you're doing, it may kill you. Truth is, you are responsible for what is going on in your life. You ever looked at somebody and say, truth is, You're headed for jail if you keep doing that. And how about this one? Truth is, if you keep mocking God and continue to reject Him when He calls you, you're headed for hell. You see, we're living in a world today where people are so educated, they say, I just can't believe in a God that would reject anybody for anything. I don't want Him. Here's the problem. He's God and you're not. Until you surrender to Him and you say, well, when I understand everything, I'll surrender. Well, then you'll never surrender. Because I'm telling you, standing here as a Bible student for my entire life, I don't understand it all. I had a dad who was a godly man, the godliest man that I've ever known. And I can go to him and ask him questions. And here's what he would tell me. He'd say, son, when you get up against things that you don't understand, you don't let them stop or confuse the things that you do. Remember the story in the Bible when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, those were hard sayings. Many people have turned and gone away. And they said to him, he said to them, will you also turn and go away? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Now here's the thing about Christianity that separates it from every religion in the world. There's a Holy Spirit that knocks on people's hearts. There is no Holy Spirit. There is no Spirit in any other religion in the world. It's not in Islam. It's not in Hinduism. It's not in any of the other religions that man has come up with. But when God speaks to a heart and He lets you know that you're saved, that is the Lord through His love being honest with you, letting you know that, yeah, you got problems and the only way that that's going to be right is for you to do business with God. And when you do business with God, you must do business on God's terms. And not yours. You see, when people come to the Lord and they have their list of ultimatums and they say, if God will explain this and if God will do this and if God will do this, I'll serve Him, then you're not coming. You know why? Because God doesn't have to answer to you. You're either going to answer to Him when He calls your name, or what happens is you're turning away from the truth. See, you got to love people enough to tell them the truth. And I'm going to be done in just a minute. We're going to play a song. But I heard a message one time about loving people to death. And here's how you can love somebody to death. Let them be in trouble and don't tell them. Let them have things in their life that are causing destruction and not tell them. Make excuses for them and enable them so that they never get to the point that they have to face the reality of where they're at. Support their bad habits, and here's the very worst thing you can do, is argue with God when God starts to get a hold of them. You see, because sometimes in order for God to get people where He can work with them, it gets real uncomfortable. But there's nothing more important in your life than getting to the point that you can do business with God. And the last thing, here's what we need to deal with our problems. Sometimes we need humbleness. As I began to talk to this dear lady, Miss Betty, yesterday, she would talk a little bit, and then she would stop. And she's over and over, and I thought how precious this was. She said, it's not about me, it's about Him. She said, I don't want y'all to think that anything I'm saying is about me now, but it's about Him. And somebody made the comment about her being Jesus' helper. And she said, oh, no. She said, I'm going to be too humble for that. How can I help Him? You see, He's God. But we try to do that, don't we? We try to have the mind of God, and we try to play God, but in reality, what we ought to do is just surrender to God. See, sometimes to get help with your problems, you need to come to Jesus. You need to come and pray before God, submit your problem to the Lord, and surrender the fact that He is King, He is Lord, and I am not. See, because we all got problems. And if you don't have one day you will. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4 through 6 says this. It says, be careful for nothing. And here's what that means. It means don't worry. Now, that's hard saying. I heard a preacher preaching at a camp meeting one time. He said, my motto is simple. It's do right and don't worry. He said, I try to do right. He said, but my wife can attest to the fact that I have a problem with that. Don't worry. Do right and don't worry. Be careful for nothing. That means don't be worried. But in everything, that's everything that you face, by prayer and supplication, that's coming in communion with God, with thanksgiving, thanking Him for what He's done, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And here's what that is. That's when somebody looks at you as a Christian and they say, don't you have these problems? Don't you have a problem with this? Don't you have a problem with that? And you say, yes, I do. They say, well, how in the world are you making it? How in the world are you not going crazy? See, it says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the answer. I have His peace. It's not my peace. It's His peace. It's when He comes on the scene and He pours out grace upon you, grace upon grace, that lets you face things. And here's what I want us to understand. Worshippers are not made on the mountain. Worshippers are made in the valley. When you're on the mountain, you don't learn how to serve God and follow God. You learn how to serve God by trusting Him when you're being pursued by the enemy. By trusting Him when the wind is blowing. And by knowing that your help and your hope and your peace comes from God. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. The altars are open. We've dried the water enough that we should be fine. If you want to come and pray, come and do business with God. We're going to play a song, Be Brave. I love this song. Preached a message one time on this about suffering the right way. You know, when I go through something, I don't care if it's a good thing, if it's a hard thing, it's a bad thing. I've come to the point in my life, I don't want to waste a day. I don't want to waste even my afflictions. It's like this. I want to learn from them so that I don't have to go through them again. If you're here this morning and God has spoke to your heart, as we play this song, you'd like to pray, would you please come?